Welcome back to Living the Good Life here. Got a good one. Here it is again. It's time for Paxton Quigley's Cannabis Healing. Paxton, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Adam. And I have to tell you that my new book has just come out. It's called Just Try Me. It's a thriller and it is sexy. In a way, it's like 50 Shades of Grey, only in Just Try Me, the women are in charge. And my cast of characters, they include two gorgeous Ukrainian dominatrixes who are also professional assassins. There's a female Afghanistan war veteran. And they work with a wealthy Silicon Valley woman and a former special forces agent. And they go after the bad guys in Hollywood. I got to tell you, it's a real Hollywood thriller. And I hope that our listeners will go to Amazon.com and look up my book. It's called, again, Just Try Me. Okay, so now let's begin cannabis healing with Happy Mother's Day to all. And today we're going to get serious. We're going to talk about the cannabis industry and the role women are playing in it. For example, in Oregon, which was one of the early states to legalize marijuana, in 2015, 36% of women held executive positions. 2 years later, in 2017, the figures went down to 27%. Now, to find out what's happening to women in the cannabis industry, I'd like to introduce our guest. She's a mother, she's a professional, and currently she's the executive vice president of Women Grow. It's an organization, a nonprofit organization, that was created to encourage women to get involved in the cannabis industry, which unfortunately now has become dominated by men. And our guest today is Gia Marone. Welcome to Cannabis Healing. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much. And you pronounced my name perfectly.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, I'm really interested in you because you started in the cannabis business just a few years ago. Why and what made you get into the cannabis business?
Sure. So I joined in 2015. I think like most was standing on the sidelines watching the news and the coverage of this evolving space. And I thought, wow, I don't see a lot of women. I don't see a lot of people of color. And yet, you know, this is something that I've known many people or, you know, have heard many people go to jail for. And I thought, but this seems like a new opportunity. And so I threw my hat in the ring. I felt it was a little bit of a risk, but I was willing to risk it all.
Good for you. Now, tell me, what does Women Grow, and that's spelled G-R-O-W. What are they doing for women? What are you doing for women? And are you doing it across the United States, or is it just in selected states?
So we are a North American company, and so we've had markets across the country. And so what Women Grow does is we were founded in 2014 as a way to connect, educate, empower, and inspire the next generation of cannabis leaders. What our initial founders saw is that the industry was being led by men, just as you stated in your opening remarks, and that we needed to see more women at the forefront. It was very important for women to be at the forefront of this. We not only see this as a business opportunity, but this plant is medicine. And oftentimes, women are the decision makers in their households. And what we recognize is that they're the ones who are making the decisions to even uproot their families and move across country to provide this medicine for their children, their, you know, elder relatives or their spouses or even themselves. And so
interesting. That's very interesting. Now, I want to ask you, give me, like, so people can understand it more, a specific case or project that you're doing.
Sure. So what we have is we have market leaders that are in select cities across the country, And it's not just based on we've identified one city. We actually have a program leader, director, who identifies the talent for individuals who would like to host these meetings. And what we try to do is we try to bring a safe space for women to network and to also gain education. The reason being is that what we're recognizing is that we're not a part of the larger conversations that are being had in the industry. So our signature networking events are held once a month. We also hold on an annual basis our leadership summit. And this is the largest summit for women in the cannabis industry. It draws women not only from across the country, but around the world. We've had women come as far as Australia and London, even the Caribbean, to come in for our two-day leadership summit. And that's where they get to meet with other like minds. They meet women who are either at the very early stages or even established, which is where they're finding their business partners, their service providers, and even career opportunities. So it's almost like networking, but on a grander scale, right? But they're walking away with actionable steps, relationships, and a lot of education that they're getting in that, those 2 days.
It's really interesting. Now, something that, you know, really bothers me is that, you know, a lot of companies, startup companies, they're looking for venture capital. And the venture capital, shall we call it, business, has been mostly male-oriented. You know, the problem is that a lot of women out there, unfortunately, don't have the kind of, shall we say, contacts in the business world, or don't have the money to capitalize, you know, a business. And, you know, it's like a guy's network. A guy, you know, he goes to somebody, and it's usually another guy because he knows he'll have money. What can be done about all this in terms of the money issue?
That's an excellent point. So that is a very common challenge for women in the industry. I think you stated it also early on in terms of the statistics where we were once at 36% and we're now at 27%. Much of the reason of the fallout is that women do not find the support, the backing of the capital that's needed to grow their businesses. And oftentimes those who are even coming to the industry for the first time, immediately they want to understand how do they invest and how do they seek and obtain the seed funding for their businesses, whether first round or second round. And we're thankfully beginning to hear only now more women coming to the forefront from other industries saying, I'm looking to invest in women-owned businesses. And that's really critical because we are in an industry that's not backed by banks. So we don't have that banking access, and we do have to go oftentimes to friends, family, or to these venture capital companies. And they're not supporting us in the way that we'd like to see, which is interesting. For our leadership summit, that is the first topic that we're actually talking about. Because it's a common question, how are we able to invest and get a return in this industry? How can we plan better for our businesses so that we're not falling to the wayside in another 2 years, which we're seeing for many in startup businesses? And we're hoping that being able to arm these new entrepreneurs with this information will help them in the longer term versus a short term. Right, we want lasting businesses. We don't want to see another decline happen for women in this industry.
That's very interesting. Now, something else. Knowing that you're doing this kind of business and as a woman and as a mother, is there any blowback? I mean, are you stigmatized because of what you're doing out there? You know, have there been problems that people have come down on you for doing what you're doing?
You know, I'd say maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, I actually find that the narrative is really changing. And I think that has a lot to do with media and politics. I think the media coverage about the industry is really shifting a lot of minds. I also and noticing, of course, with if you look at many of the presidential candidates and looking at legalization happening from state to state, there's less of a stigma, but there's more inquiries that are now coming in versus a year or two ago where people did have a certain impression about what I did. Thankfully, upon entering, I had the conversation with my daughter and with my mother about why I was doing this. And the more that they're beginning to learn about what I'm doing, they're actually not only rather supportive, they want to learn what opportunities are there for them, which I welcome and I love, you know, that they're open to that. So I say, you know, we do less. We're not trying to preach at people. We're just really showing them what we're doing. And I think what's happening now is that more women are beginning to identify with women that they're meeting, even within Women Grow. And they're beginning to say, these are working mothers just like any other working mother in any other industry. They're professionals just as we are. They have degrees. They've got the experience. The only difference is that this is in the cannabis industry. And the response is actually it's welcoming.
Gia, can you give out your website so women and men can go to it and learn more about the organization?
Absolutely. They find us at womengrow.com. That's womengrow.com. Or they can find us on social media at womengrow.
Well, thank you very much, and happy Mother's Day to you. And we'd love to have you back on in the future. Please take care.
Thank you so much. And happy Mother's Day to all.
Thank you. And folks, just a reminder, please check out my new novel, Just Try Me by Paxton Quigley. It's on Amazon.com. And, of course, we'd also like to thank our listeners for being with us today. We'll post Gia Marone's interview on our Facebook and our Twitter and LinkedIn pages, which you can find under my name, Paxton Quigley. So everyone, stay healthy and balanced and stay in touch. I'm Paxton Quigley.